Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of Competitive Magic with the Carnies. I'm your host from Italy, Andrea Mengucci, and joining me, we have, as always, Javier Dominguez from Spain.
Hello everyone.
And Anthony Lee from Australia.
Hola.
The Carnies are back together after an episode where Javier and Anthony talked about mulligans. Definitely check it out if you are like me. Have a condition to tend to keep every hand, you definitely want to check it out. I'm sure you can heal from that condition. Javier, what about you? Are you working on that keep all hands condition?
I mean, I don't think I keep all hands. I actually never thought that. It was just mostly external observations from people, so I never felt like I kept all the hands. At some point, enough people told me that I suspected that would be the case, but, you know, then I met some of the players that actually were like me, like you, for example, or Seth, or other good players, so I feel right about my keeping conditions right now.
When I was covering the final of the Pro Tour, I saw Seth mulligan in a hand with lands and spells, and I was like, oh wow, he healed.
No, he always was like this, you know?
But then the very next hand, he kept the one land there and never drew another land,
and
lost.
And that's exactly how I think you mulligan well. And yeah, I mean, I think I have learned a lot of mulliganing strategies from Seth, definitely. So
for sure.
And you can learn them. You know, the audience can learn them by listening to the previous episode where Javier expounds on the virtues of mulliganing in this way. So yeah.
Mulliganing by the hands.
Yeah. Or, you know, identifying.
For sure, check it out. Episode 73, our editor did a great job on the YouTube channel, if you watch it, where the hands were actually showed. That is something that I definitely enjoyed. But yeah, today's episode is going to focus a lot on Outlaws of the Thunder Junction. We actually have the full spoiler out. I can see here 2075 out of 2076. So only one card missing.
2000?
Yeah, we're going to talk about...
200?
Sorry.
200.
Yeah. My bad. 200. 275. Yeah. We're going to focus today mostly on Modern and a little bit of Pioneer. I believe there are a lot of cards worth talking about, and it's going to be interesting to see Anthony's and Javier's opinion on them.
Yeah, we're specifically not talking about Standard because when you're on a, you know, Pro Tour testing, the top tier Pro Tour testing team, you're not really allowed to talk about the Pro Tour format. So, you know, me and Javier being on one of those teams aren't allowed to talk about Standard at this point. But, you know, Mengu can do what he wants, really. He's very free, but we're a little bit more restricted. So that's why we're going to avoid talking about Standard, you know, full disclosure and all that. All right. Yeah, go on.
Okay. Yes, let's start with the beats. Let's start with a card that a lot of people were very high on when it got released. And I still am. I'm actually going to zoom this a little bit on... for you to see. It's Jace Reawakened. It's a planeswalker that costs only 2 mana, blue. It says, you can't cast the spell during your first, second, or third turn of the game. Notably, it says your, so if you have Leyland of Anticipation, you can play it on turn 2 of your opponents. It comes to play with 3 loyalty, and with +1, it's a loot effect, so draw a discard. Nothing too fancy, but something always nice to have. My +1 again, so twice +1 ability. You may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. Now, what is plotted? It says that basically you can cast a card on a later turn for free. So, you know, some cards, for example, we're going to talk about later, Slickshot Showoff, are just a normal card and have the plot ability on them. In the case of Jace, you will +1 Jace, take a card from your hand, put it face down, and then the next turn, you can cast it for free. Of course, it has to be a card that costs 3 mana or less. And then finally, it has the emblem, or rather the last ability that says -6 until end of turn. Whenever you play a spell, you copy it. So the reason why this card is making a lot of people talk is because of its combo with Valky, God of Lies. We've already seen Valky God of Lies comboing in many formats. Bring to Light, for example, or for a brief amount of time, the Cascade mechanic allowed you to play the backside of Valky. And now the rules allow you to play the backside of Valky for free with Jace the next turn you put into play. So let's say you're playing like a blue-black control deck in Pioneer, which, you know, it's definitely a viable deck. You can play this on turn 4, interact with your opponent, and then on turn 5, you can play Tibalt for free. So yeah, Carnies, what do you guys think about these combinations, and do you think it's going to impact Modern and Pioneer?
I mean, it's kind of tricky to decide whether this is good enough or not. I want to say first is like, I actually think this card's art is pretty cool. I like this like split screen thing, just to say. And well, I think a question we have to make here is like, first, how good, like, if Tibalt will be a card we'll put in our Pioneer or even Modern decks, how cheap will we need it to be? I think this is a question we have to ask first before actually like deciding whether we think this is playable or not. Like, Tibalt will be completely busted for 3 mana plus Walker, right? I think that's kind of clear. And it will probably not be playable at 6 even in Pioneer or Standard. I think we also can agree here there. So it probably lies between like 5 and 4. Where do you guys draw the line? Because if it's 4, well, that's fine. But if it's 5, is it even better than just not playing this Jace card, for example? Like, I think it depends for every format and also every metagame. From my limited experience just playing the Ring to Light Pioneer deck, Tibalt is like not particularly broken at 5, but definitely something you want to have access to and good enough to win games. But a Planeswalker that will be like only Tibalt on 5 mana, like no other text than just being 5 mana Tibalt text. Like, is that card even that much better than Teferi? Teferi, Hero of the Minaria, for example? Because I will say it's similar. Maybe a little
Yeah, I think
bit.
They're very close. Very, yeah, very
very
close.
Very close, right? So it's a 5 mana card, right? So this card seems to me like, because if I understood it correctly, you play this on 4, and then you play Tibalt for 3 and 5, which is like the best situation. I think that could be playable in Pioneer specifically, probably not for Modern. But I think for Pioneer, though, you will also need like a juice for this card. Like, this card needs to be actively good anyway with the draw discard mode, like using the mode to actually get something used, like a Phoenix in the graveyard, if you know what I mean. Because otherwise, I think the payoff is not enough. However, this card also kind of combos with the Cascade cards also. I don't know if there's anything else you can do with this. Like, I'm pretty sure in Modern there's a lot of like strange cards you can use, like the, how do you call the Demonic Tutor? Profane Tutor?
Yes, Profane Tutor.
Like, this is, yeah, like suspend. This also plays well with suspend cards, doesn't it? Like, I assume it does,
yes,
as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, like,
yes, set, like Crashing, yeah. Footfalls.
Well, I was thinking more of like things like Ancestral, like maybe cards with suspend, because Cascade,
Ancestral Visions.
Yeah, because if you play Jace and you play Cascade, you will Cascade into Jace, right? So not, it doesn't really work. But if you can cast Profound Tutor or some stuff like that, like the Bribery, you know, all these cards, like, this, right, can be good with suspend. Yeah, from, I think for Modern, this could be tied to the suspend cards. But for nothing, like, I think just casting Valky on turn 4 or 5 for free is not enough for Modern. I think in Pioneer it could be, but it will require such a deck that, one, uses both cards reasonably. I think Valky is not that bad as a face card in Pioneer compared to, you know, what it will be Modern. But, like, I think you will need to, for Jace to be acceptable, like, it's very hard to make these cards work, because when they do work, you're paying so much in terms of, like, the building and also, like, empty slots that you need it to be very powerful. So I will say probably not from that position, but only for Pioneer. I think in Modern, there must be, like, some weird suspend things that I'm not seeing. And if that's the case, I mean, Mingus has something on screen now. I'm pretty sure there are some broken things you can do in Modern. I don't know what Anthony thinks.
Or so, Mingo. Go ahead. Yeah, like, in Modern, I would assume that this card is probably a little worse at enabling those cards than As Foretold, but it gives you redundancy. So if there was some deck with As Foretold, you could play 4 As Foretold and some of this card, and now you have more of that effect. I think that it's incredibly unlikely that that's actually good in Modern, but that's the sort of space that I see it in. Like, I think Modern is just too fast that you can't really play a card like this in Modern, I imagine. Like, you know, you can't cast a spell during your first, second, or third terms of the game is very unappealing in Modern. And then a card that, you know, probably has to stick around to generate value. It just implies a much longer time frame than most modern games actually take place in. But for Pioneer, I think it's kind of interesting, because something I think that's important is that it's not just a turn 5 Tibalt that you're casting off this thing. It's a turn 5 Tibalt and you still have all your mana, which is the big difference from Bring to Light. With Bring to Light, you tap out and you have a Tibalt in play. But if you play this on turn 4 and then you play a turn 5 Tibalt, then you have all your mana when you cast a Tibalt. So you can defend it or cast spells that you hit off the Tibalt or whatever, and that might be a big difference. I'm not totally sure about that, but I think that's kind of... That's why I think it would take for this card to be good. For that turn 5 Tibalt with all your mana up to be substantially better than the current Bring to Light Tibalt. I think the card... there's... A lot, as you say, does depend on how good this card is by itself, which I think is really hard to evaluate, honestly. Like, I think if it is good, it is going to depend on how important it is to generate, like, generate tempo of being able to, like, generate mana off this card each turn. I don't know how good that is. It sort of implies that I need to have, like, a bunch of... it's a bit strange, because the whole thing about the plot mechanic is that... it's slow, right? Like, you have to wait a turn to use it, but the value of the card is in generating mana, and the kind of strategies that are that care a lot about spending a lot of mana, ideally not also slow ones, so that's an awkward tension with being able to plot whatever card. I'm not really sure. Maybe there's something that reconciles those. It's difficult to evaluate this card, but I think that's the kind of tension that you have to try to resolve when you're trying to figure out how to make this card good by itself, which I think is necessary in order to make it so that it's acceptable when you're trying to build a deck that keys off a synergy with it, because I don't think, like, I agree with you. I think that it's not enough to simply have plot. Like, it's not like you win the game when you play a Valky, you know? It's not like an actual combo. So, yeah, I think, that's what I think is necessary for this card to be good. So I think it's kind of a tall order. The odds are probably a little stacked against this to be good, but I think that's interesting as well. You know, I like that there's a lot of uncertainty about this. I definitely don't think it's broken or anything like that. I just think Tibalt is not powerful enough for this kind of interaction to be broken. But is there something there? I don't know. Maybe.
There's definitely more answers to Tibalt since the last time it was in the combo with Shardless, with like Outburst and Ardent Plea. Now you have Leyline of the Guild Pact being very much played. So I guess even if you do the thing, you know, still there are ways to deal with it. Whereas before in Modern, before the nerf of the Cascade change, there was not that many answers.
I don't even think it's about answers, though. I think it's just it being not that powerful. Said, like, it doesn't matter whether it's... It doesn't matter whether it's, like, more answerable. It just matters whether it's even powerful enough. Like Javier said, if you could just play this card for 5 mana, it wouldn't be good enough. Like, I think if you could play this card for 4... Like, if they printed in Modern Horizons 3 a card like this with for 4 mana, I don't think it would be good in Modern. Like,
I think I'm playing a good card, actually.
The problem is that you're not spending 5 mana. I mean, you've said it, so we no need to repeat, but you're only spending 2 mana to put this into play. You're using the other turns to do other stuff.
It's a weird card, though. Like, it's a blue card that's a planeswalker, but what it does is generate mana, mostly. So it's like it's a weird card.
In Modern, you have a common deck that plays Narset plus Days Undoing as a win condition, and I assume that it's similar to Jace plus Valky both of the cards are, you know, not amazing, but if you put them together, you win the game. You may say that you don't win the game here, whereas you win the game with Narset plus Days Undoing, but I think that if you play blue-white, you definitely want to give this combination a try, even in Modern, not just in Pioneer, where I think that it will be good in blue-black for sure.
I don't think that's the biggest
there's
difference.
There's a way bigger difference, I think.
Yeah, like, the biggest difference is, like, Narset is actually, like, a card. Like, Narset, if you protect it, there's even matchups where it just breaks the game. Like, if you play removal, Narset empty board, it gets you, like, a significant advantage. Like, if you get two good cards out of one, while Jace is, like, you know, I understand Days Undoing and Tibalt will both be very bad, but Jace is much worse than Narset. Like, Jace is going to be like, you know, just loot. And Narset is going to be like, just dig for a good card twice. I think that would be probably the biggest difference in that regard, if I had to say now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to another plot card that is Slickshot Show-Off. This is a 2-mana 1-2 Flying Haste. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, so not just instant and sorcery, but any non-creature spell, this gets +2/+0 at the end of turn, and it has plot too.
It's not bad.
Yeah, this seems like similar to Spray Dragon in Blue Red Prowess. Spray Dragon notably won one of the challenges this past weekend in Blue Red Prowess. So I would say this is an upgrade to Spray Dragon.
Well, maybe. I mean, there's a new chicken in town, huh? Like, this card is...
Oh, it is a chicken.
It is a chicken, yeah. It is a good chicken. I mean, I have not played with this card, obviously, but, like, I think this could hit hard in prowess decks with Mana Morphosis or whatever, like, or even just, you know, Mutagenic Growth. Like, it's double prowess. Sure, Dragon gets a counter, but, like, if you're trying to end the game fast, I mean, this can probably kill real fast in those decks with, like, all the free spells and the Underworld Breaches and whatever. Growth. Yeah, Mutagenic Growth. Like, I mean, I don't think the plot actually matters that much here. And, I mean, it can protect you from removal or whatever, but I assume the common pattern, all the removals in Modern being one mana and instant speed, pretty much, right? Like, all the removals are like that kind of nowadays. I guess Prismatic Ending, but it's not that much played anymore.
Yeah, I was exactly thinking of Prismatic Ending. Yeah. Like, that's one of the few ways.
Yeah, but usually, I assume that the plot will be, like, not very important here, I feel. Like, this card could not have plot, and I still will feel like, well, this is maybe good. Like, this is maybe actually Modern playable. Did you play this in 2? And I'm pretty sure there are a lot of combinations of your opponent dying on 3 without too much effort compared to, like, other cards, compared to a dragon or something, so...
Yeah, plot, it's more of a... I would say that in Standard, if it's better, with a lot of sweepers being played in that format that are sorcery speed. So, you know, that's a world
even Pioneer also,
wanna,
right? Yeah.
You may want to, yeah, use that ability, but here... It was actually hard for me to understand why this card had plot, but I definitely see why you may want to...
From a design perspective, it's easy to see, I think, you know... It makes sense.
You hold it, and then you just play the turn when you have a lot of mana. I mean, I don't think it would matter much in Modern, but I'm pretty sure it will also, like, have some impact, even, you know, because sometimes you might just still do this because they have a fetch land and they have one mana, so you want to, you know, like, make sure your opponent has to leave the mana up for the next turn, or you want to hold, like, this, because this plays extremely well with protection spells. Like, imagine you put, like, some Apostle Blessing in your deck, right? You can just plot on turn 2 and then just play this on turn 3 for free, and then just play the pump spells, and they have the blessing up. Just infect away, you know, because this creature kind of has infect prowess, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually, the more I see it, the more I think, like, well, plot might actually matter here, even in Modern.
Team or Battle Rage.
Yeah, whatever. That's probably underpowered for Modern, but, like, yeah. Like, I think plot might actually be good in Modern on that regard anyway, especially with land and bindings. Like, you know, opponent goes, like, Tablan with a Triumph, and they just have Triumph up for mining. You can just still play Plot Pass. They cannot bind in that turn, and next turn you can just do your thing. I think, well, this looks good. I don't know how good it will be. I'm not the biggest fan of the Prowess decks in terms of, like, them being, like, the best decks or anything, but they have legs. They are, I think, a solid tier 2 deck. And, well, I mean, I will definitely like to try this card in those decks, because this might be a reason for the deck to be better. Like,
yeah.
I just don't know. Like, this has to kill fast.
What I want to see in Modern.
So in other formats, like Pioneer, this is a wizard, so it can enable Wizard's Lining. Blue Red Wizards has been a winning deck in Pioneer. In,
really?
I believe some
historic
Explorer.
In historic,
in
Arena.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is the same white in that deck. Well, but it's,
yeah. I was. I remember it won 2 tournament.
The format of the people.
But I don't know what was the format.
Yeah, it was a story.
I definitely watched the Arena final this weekend on Sunday. Tony Rami Pasquale, our mutual friend, won the Arena Championship 5. And he got there with Blue Red Phoenix.
Congrats, Tony, from here. He's a friend, and I'm very happy for him.
Yes. Great dude.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's back from news to this chicken. Yeah, I mean, definitely for historic. Yeah. It's just like, this is like the, how do you call the pauper creature? The one that gets +2/+0?
Kiln Fiend.
Yeah. Like, I think flying in this type of creatures just matters so much, because it's very easy to have a Ragavan there jumping or whatever. And this is like, there aren't that many creatures in Modern that have flying you want to block with. Like, obviously, you have the biggest hitters like the Scion and the Mortite or whatever, but, like, they really don't want to be blockers in that regard. And I think, flying cure alts just makes so much difference.
Let's go on to another card that may see play modern. It's called Smuggler's Surprise, and it has a new mechanic called Spree. So you can see that it has a little plus on the top right corner. So it's cost one green and it has a plus. You cannot cast it for one green. You must choose one or more types. And this card in particular has three. So it's a lot of words, so get ready for it. So you pay one green and then you add either two colorless and you're going to mill four and you can put up to two creatures or lands from among the mill cards into your hand. Or you can add five for a total cost of six and you can put up to two creatures card from your hand into the battlefield. Or you can pay one colorless plus one green and you're going to make your creatures with power four greater gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. Notably, this is an instant, so you can do all of this at instant speed. So it's both a mill four cards, you know, make some values. It's some sort of divination card, or it's a tooth and nail, put two creatures into play, and then you can protect them by adding some more mana. The house of this card in modern could be Amulet Titan. You know, all the modes are pretty nice. Amulet Titan is a deck that can make a lot of mana. Also, Amulet Titan is a deck that plays mostly sorcery speed, so this being an instant can add an additional element to it. What do you guys think of this card?
Isn't a deck mostly playing at sorcery speed? Like, if a deck mostly plays at sorcery speed, I feel like that makes an instant less appealing. I mean, obviously instant is better than sorcery, but if a deck mostly plays at sorcery speed, then I think the value of an instant is less. You know, just on general principle. Is this card good in Amulet Titan, Javier? Do you think so? This seems... I saw Kenneth tweet it. I thought he was literally joking. Am I missing something?
I think there's some things to unpack here. First is like, what is true? Generally, I think it's true that if your deck plays in sorcerer speed, the value of playing instant speed is not high because you cannot really change years, right? Like, that's the general concept. But I'm not sure that applies to specifically combo decks, right? Because in combo decks, you don't care that much about the turns after the turn you combo. So you can just pass in with six mana here and they have a counter spell. They have to counter
overloading mana.
And then you untap and play the combo. Like, that would be true. What you said would be true in overall mid-range magic. But I think of specifically like combo decks, because this card reminds me of like playing Cunning Wish in Show and Tell combo decks, where Cunning Wish will be like the only instant speed card. But for that reason, you could just leverage that a lot, because you could just play Cunning Wish and play Fatal Fiction or whatever, and if they counter that, then you have the hammer of the combo, right? So I think the instant speed should not be overlooked in combo decks for that specific reason, right?
Okay, so makes
that's
sense.
The first thing. Yep. Yeah, I think that's the first thing to unpack about this card. Second thing, this doesn't look very good on rate, right? That's the first, the most important thing. It's sort of a bat through the breach. And sort of a bad divination. You can just have them together, but Amulet Titan actually doesn't float as much. I think this card will actually be much better if there was not like so much Ursa Saga / Ring value, because I think the deck, once it gets like a little bit going on, it just has enough things to do. However, this card could still be a fine card. Like, if the metagame is heavy enough and there's like Mortite, like I think I would like this card against Mortite for that reason. Like, they have the whole counter spell for my Titan turn, right? On that turn, I pass the turn, so they waste a mana. But then they still have to counter this on the end of turn. So their mana is like super taxed if I can add this spell to the mix. And I don't think it's going to be great. I also think this notably, and it's probably the worst part, doesn't play very well with Summoner's Pact, because you have to Summoner's Pact before you actually play this card. You cannot play the pact in the middle. Otherwise, it could be much better, because you could just decide to pact if you resolve, and then you know, and then this will be much easier to sneak. But the way it's worded, you cannot do that, and I think that might be enough to make this card completely unplayable. Like, I don't think it's very likely for this card to be good, but if there are enough counterspells or stuff like that, I think it doesn't hurt to play like one or two copies and see what's up, because I think it will be decent against counterspells. And of course, the three mana divination, like, you know, the worst part is like divination, that's still fine, even though it's not great.
Yeah, I think maybe I rate that much lower. Like, if that was Like, if I was more optimistic about the value that having a fair grindy card would add to the deck, then maybe I would be higher in this card, but I feel like you're already pretty good against those, and the ways in which you lose to those decks, this card doesn't really interact with. So I would say I'm very, very skeptical about this card, but I think as a card in general, it might make sense. It just doesn't, like, I'm not really seeing it for a deck like Amulet or for a format like Mon, but maybe. I don't know. Like, if there's something
broken, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still like this has like 1 to 2% of ingot in Amulet, maybe 3%. I'm not saying it's 50%. Oh,
so we actually agree.
I'm just saying it's not impossible. I'm saying I see some merits here.
Okay, then we kind of agree. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I see enough for this card. Like, I see enough to try it, if you know what I mean.
I mean, yeah, we'll try anything. Yeah. Obviously,
I know, but I think this might work in as a one-off or two-off, maybe. It's like 2 or 3%. I don't know. Yeah,
it's flavorful though, right? Because we don't expect it to be good. But if you look at the art, it's like a Trojan horse, right? So like,
yeah, it's a horse.
You know, like, yeah, if it gets good. Us, yeah, if it gets us, then I'll be like, all right, the Trojan horse got me. Fair enough. You know, yeah. All right.
Well designed. Yeah, that's true. What do you think, Mango? You think it's gonna be good, or just meh?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see. The problem is that, of course, you have to have a Titan already in your hand, which is otherwise, you know, the second part is really bad, as you said, to pair it with Summoner's Pact. I really like the first side, though. It's basically a divination 100% in Amulet, because your deck is only creatures and lands.
100%, so, though.
Yeah, so... I mean, I guess you can also get you can also mill rings and amulets, but you'd be very unlucky to miss, of course. I don't know. I don't know. The thing is that amulet slots are so tight, like you really cannot add anything to that deck. So it's probably gonna be cool to test for the first times, and then we're just gonna see maybe people going back to the regular version. But you know. As always, that's a very very cool part of new cards that you can try and see how they do, and maybe they stick. But yeah,
can you give us a percentage? I mean, Avia said, you know, it's like 1, 2, 3%. I think I'll take the lower end of that. You know, maybe Avia sounds like he might take the high, maybe closer to 3. Give us a number.
I feel like in the first month, we're definitely gonna see this card in Modern Challenge top 8s, because people will play that, and Amulet Titan is the best deck, so it will top 8 regardless. The question is, when, like, in 3 months, we will see this card in the top 8, so I think that is the most important thing. So probably, as I said, in the first month, we will see this card. Like, there's like 5 challenges per weekend now in Modern, which is like infinite, so we'll for sure see this card in the top 8, but the question is, you know, was this better than, I don't know, the 4th Summoner Pact, which people are cutting, or an Elish Norn, or, I don't know, whatever people would cut for this card, or Explore, stuff like that, you know? Maybe not, but that's, again, it's going to be a surprise to see this card, for sure.
Yeah, I see surprise. What you did there.
Yeah.
Wait, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. Okay, let's continue. We have an uncommon here. It's the Forsaken Miner. It cost a black, and it cannot block. It's a 2-2, so it's an Izamaru, but it can't block. And it says, whenever you commit a crime, you may pay black. If you do, you return it from the graveyard to the battlefield. And you may ask, what is you commit a crime? It is targeting the opponent, or anything they control, or anything in their graveyard. That's it. So, notably, this card in Modern can fit the Yawgmoth deck. It is a... a 2-2 that you can come back, you can bring back, paired with Yawgmoth, you can -1/-1 your opponent thing, sacrifice this, pay 1 black, bring it back. Is it good? Probably it's worse than an Undying Creature, but, you know, it beats a little bit harder than the other 1/1s do, so,
Well, that's good. I didn't think of that. I mean, this is probably going to be a one-off in Yawgmoth then, right? Because if you have only 1 Yawgmoth, nowadays, you don't have a very good Code of Calling target, do you? But if you have only 1 Yawgmoth and you Code of Calling for X is 1 with this, you can just pay a mana to draw a card forever. Is it correct? Like, that's how it goes, right?
Mana to draw.
Like, if you have Yawgmoth and this creature, every mana you pay, you draw a card, right?
Not, because the problem is that they need to have a creature for you to target. Otherwise, you don't put the counter anywhere. So that is when the card is weak. But if you're it's like a Patra. I see this card similar to a Patra. Obviously, it costs one less mana, and a Patra is free. But
it looks worse than a Patra. A Patra is, I think, the card is very good in Yawgmoth when the metagame is correct for it. Okay, well, then this doesn't look good, or not too good. I mean, probably then again enough, good enough to probably try one in Yawgmoth and see what happens. But ultimately, I don't think this is gonna be good enough. And the fact that it attacks a little bit better is probably not a big deal, because it also doesn't block, which is, you know, Yawgmoth often has to preserve its life total to be able to just activate the engine and just, you know, do the whole thing. So I'm not even sure this is a better creature to have in your battlefield than a 1-1, to say something, or a 2-2 that can actually block. So I will say nope to this one. That's what I will say.
Yeah, Forsaken sounds about right to me. I don't have much to say.
Okay. Okay, let's continue. We have a card that seems super powerful to me. It's called Pillage the Bog. It costs black and green. It's a sorcery. And it says, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is twice the number of lands you control. You put one of them into your hand, the rest on the bottom, and it has plot for 3. So, very strange colors on this card, but it is basically a Shimmer of Possibilities, which was one in the blue sorcery. Look at the top 4, put one in your hand, the rest on your bottom. But if you cast that later in the game, it gets better and better and better. And if you cast a very late game, it's a Demonic Tutor. So, yeah, I can see this card being played in decks that require heavy card selection. I'm thinking about maybe Scapeshift deck, or just a deck that wants to draw a card. I can even see this card played in Yawgmoth, maybe, if you want to dig for, in particular, the card Yawgmoth. Or just in general, anything your deck want to draw, Junt Creativity, this card can give you access to creativity, and so on and so forth. Again, the colors are very weird, but there's a lot of power on this card.
I mean, it is a Shimmer of Possibility, ultimately, which is already a card that we don't play because it's like a much worse impulse. I don't know what to say about this card. It looks like it's not playable at all to me. I kind of understand why this card is plot, because the idea is that like you cast it like the turn later and then it's slightly more powerful. So like any time that you had the mana and don't need the card immediately, you can plot it and then it will look at presumably 2 more cards. But wow, I don't know. This just doesn't seem like. I think it's the problem
one
with
for
this
one, right?
Yeah, like ultimately, card. It is just like a card. It's ultimately a card, an expensive card selection spell, right? And I honestly don't think that it is a Demonic Tutor. Like, 10 cards is still not a Demonic Tutor. Like, a Demonic Tutor is literally a whole library. Like, that's a very significant difference. Like, you never ever miss with a Demonic Tutor. But yeah, I mean. I think expensive card selection is just really, is already a very narrow effect, right? Like, the kinds of decks that would play a Shimmer of Possibility are not very many kinds of decks already. And then having a restrictive mana cost as well as another condition, which is actually that you need to play a bunch of lands, which is not trivial for some types of combo decks, adds even more conditions to already a very conditional effect. So, yeah, I mean, if there is a place for this card, I think it'll be very obvious. Like, if you're playing some kind of, specifically a black-green combo deck that will play a land every turn, then I could see it. But, I mean, it's very hard for me to see this card seeing play in Yawgmoth or something similar to that. Like, I think it would have to be extremely clear that you want to play this card. I don't really know what that deck would look like, but it's not any deck that I can think of currently, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cards. I mean, as Anthony said, it's like card selection ultimately. That's a bad start already. Like, the bar for card selection in Modern will be Expressive Iteration at 2 mana, I feel. Like, I think everything that's worse than Iteration is just, like, not good. And it's not like every single deck that can cast Iteration actually does cast Iteration. So it's like, it's a card that you specifically need a lot of, like, deck building restrictions to be good. And this one is like, how good a card needs to be for you to be able to profitably just spend 2 mana in Modern. Like,
even if this was the Demonic Tutor, like how good a Demonic Tutor that cannot get one-offs will be in Modern, for example. That's an exercise we can make, I think. And obviously it could be good, but I don't think it would be like completely great if it was a green-black Demonic Tutor that can only get 3-offs, for example, you know. And this is obviously never going to be close to that. And you still need your cards to either combo, as Anthony said, or be able to just get back at least 2 mana of tempo. That's just like not easy in Modern, right? Like it's the Ragavan format. Like it's Ragavan Ball Leyland Magnet for 1 mana format. I just think this is not powerful enough. Like I feel this is the opposite to the Flying Chicken, where this card is just like never gonna do something too broken because it's just like library manipulation. And the more, like, it's not only like not good enough, but like the more power the format becomes, it should be even worse. I guess the exception is like if a new combo deck happens and the combo deck desperately needs card like even if you need deck manipulation and you are like a black green combo deck, it's like a still shimmer of possibility most of the time, or a shimmer for 6 cards on turn 3. That still sounds awful. I just think like the power level is just too high from my opinion for this card, or this type of card for that matter.
Yeah, like we're not even saying this particular card, just this entire class of card. Like even cards that look like this card are not playable, you know? Like yeah, this is definitely
It's also green black. Like if it was mono black, like let's say this card was 1 black, 1 colorless, I think that would be different because we could be like, well, maybe this can be good in coffers, you know, because it's a deck that actually gets time back, and it's a deck that actually sometimes has like this, like I have 10 mana on turn 6 or whatever, so I can just spend 2 mana, look for 10 cards, and then just play my bomb with other 8 mana. That's kind of good, you know. You can even say like, well, I can play a mono black turn or whatever, but the fact that it's 2 colors even takes away that potential home. Like I think this being a mono black card might have a, you know, a spot. Like it's a deck that might be interested in playing cards like Night Whispers, right? So this is probably still worse than Night Whispers in my opinion, but I could see a world where this is not worse than Night Whisper for all that matters. So, but I think 2 colors is just too much for that reason.
Okay, let's continue. We have another card that is interesting to talk about, probably not good enough for Modern, but probably good enough for Pioneer. It is 3 Steps Ahead. It's another one of these spree card, and it's the blue one, so it's an instant for a blue with a plus. And the abilities are 1 and a blue extra counter target spell, so that would be cancel. 3 colorless extra, create a token that's a copy of target artifact creature you control. So it's not quite clone, but only for your things. Or plus 2 extra, draw 2, and then discard a card. So the immediate similarity to this card would be Archmage's Charm, which doesn't even see play anymore in Modern. But, you know, Archmage's Charm is not legal in Pioneer. And in Pioneer, you see cards like Absorb or just Normalize is now replaced a lot of these Absorb number. So this would be a counterspell for 3. Late game, it would be a, would say, similar to Cryptic Command. Or even late game, just even better than that. If you have a million mana, you can also make a copy of your whatever 2/2 token, but you have a ton of mana to dump into. So yeah, this card feels like it could be a card to try. You know, Archmage Charm maybe doesn't see play anymore because everybody's playing Domain now, even the control deck. So maybe the fact that this cost 1 less mana colored would be enough to play it in Modern. What do you guys think?
I mean, this card... Yeah, like maybe for Modern, obviously that's not a serious consideration. But for Pioneer, this is interesting. I mean, like you said, like people play cards like Absorb already, and I actually kind of like a bunch of the cancels in Pioneer already. Like cards like Saw It Coming, I think, are underplayed in Pioneer, and this seems like quite a bit better. Like I really think the kicker ability is very appealing there. Like the split between the 3 and the 5 mana mode, where you get to counterspell, draw 2, discard 1, seems pretty substantially powerful. Like, it's not just a split card, right? It's a split card and it's a kicker card. I think that's the really impressive thing about a bunch of these spree cards. And, yeah, I think this card might be actually pretty impressive in Pioneer. I could even see trying to build the Pioneer decks in a way that you can use the second mode as well. Like, you know, if you can, like, copy a Reckoner Bankbuster or something as well as countering a spell, or, like, casting a catalog. That seems really impressive. I'm pretty interested in this card, I think, for Pioneer. Mostly because I think the bar is not that high. I don't really like Absorb that much anyway. I get what it does. Like, there's that life is a real buffer, especially against decks like Black Red. But yeah, I could see this card doing something in Pioneer for sure. I do want to think about what kinds of artifacts or creatures I could copy, but even without that, even if we just totally ignore that text, like the split card between counter slash catalog slash 5-mana do both is, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. Yeah, I like this card.
Yeah, like, that's pretty good. I think the 5-mana counter catalog, that's good. Like, the thing is, the tricky part with this card is, like, obviously you can think 5-mana for that is a lot, but the decks that actually play cancels are the deck that are more inclined to have like the long games where you have infinite mana, and also are like decks that actually will benefit often of this catalog, because they will often have like cards that are awkward to have in that situation, like land number 8, or if it's a game 1, they usually have like dead cards against one matchup or the other. Like, I think this type of card can actually just make control better. Definitely, I will not be surprised if this becomes standing with, like, normalizing blue white controlling Pioneer. Like, it just, I think the card is good. And also, you don't need to work too much. I think even putting a 2-2 form Wandering Emperor, or, like, you know, like a Shard Typhoon or whatever, that's enough. I think this card doesn't need that much, you know, for this, like, these long game situations where, you know, you just, like, have 10 mana and your memory delusions or whatever, and just, like, you know, just play this and copy the shard. That's good. That's good enough, I think. I think this card should be better than all the other cancels in Blue-White Control, in my opinion. Not for Modern, but yes, for Pioneer.
Yeah? I did not think about the shock token. That's sick. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and wow, end of okay. turn. Don't even have to like, work. You can just even play the token and just, like, play this as a 4-mana surprise another token. That's, like, that's good. You don't need to work too much for this to be good. You don't need to put Bombusters or anything. You can just play Typhoons, and that's already like an extra plus, I think. So I think this card should be good, or at least decent. I will definitely try it in Blue-White Control, but I will say this has a somewhat high percentage of being at least playable as a one or two off in that deck, in my opinion.
All right, I'm a fan. Even bigger fan. I was already a fan. Now I'm an even bigger fan.
Well, you didn't make a joke about the name, though. That was a good name.
What? Yeah, this is a nice name, yeah.
Yeah, three steps ahead.
Okay. All right, let's continue. We have some more Spree cards. Once again, it costs a black and a Spree, but this time it's a sorcery. The previous one that we talked about, the green and the blue one, are instant. This time only has two modes. With +2, you search your library for a card, you put it on top. And for +2 black... So the first one was +2 colorless. So overall, you pay 2 colorless and a black, and you Vampiric Tutor, or rather, I should say, Imperial Seal. And the other one is 2 black extra. So you pay 3 black, and target player draws 3 cards and loses 3 lives. So the immediate comparison of this card is Painful Truth, but you can pay 5 mana, and you can tutor 1 card and draw 2 extra. Or there is another important thing that this card can do. It can target the opponent. So if you have in play Shieldred or Orcish Bowmaster, you can kill them. Namely with Shieldred, it's 9 damage, which is a lot of damage. So yeah, the house for this card in Modern could be, of course, Mono Black. That is a very successful strategy right now in Modern. You see a plethora of different Mono Black deck. You have, of course, Mono Black Coffers. You have Mono Black without Coffer but with Grief. You have Mono Black The Rack, which had several top 8s this weekend. You have even Mono Black with Vein Reaper and Soarin. So, yeah, I mean, Black is everywhere right now in Modern, and this card could fit those decks.
It seems bad. Like, the rate is, like, very bad. It's not like you see Painful Truths being played anywhere. Like, when's the last time you saw Painful Truths being good, right?
But that would be the start. Painful Truths doesn't see play because it requires domain, whereas this one can fit...
I don't know if that's...
No, I don't think that's true. I think Painful Truths could be, like, 3 mana, draw 3 cards, lose 3 life, and still would be a bad card, a very bad card. That said, this might be flexible enough, like the Mengu's point of like Orcish Masters and Shieldred. It is worth something because those mono black decks are always interested in playing those effects. Like if you have an Orc and a Shieldred, then it's a lot of damage. Like it's like 12, right? That's something. And also, if you're playing Coffers specifically, the search mode might actually matter because you can just have like this 12 mana
turns and just go, you know, tutor for the damnation or whatever. Being able to get one-offs is also good. I think this does not look good at all, but I will think this could be fine to be tried in coffers specifically. I think the other semi-tempo decks in Modern will not want this. But specifically coffers, that also is a deck that mulligans a little bit more than the other black decks. Like it doesn't mulligan as much as Tron, but it does mulligan to some extent. This card might be okay. Like, it's definitely a card that can compete. I think the comparison for this card is like Night's Whisper in a way. Like, it will be the card it fights with, not Painful Truths. I think Painful Truths is much worse than this card, and I think Painful Truth kind of sucks. I will expect Night Whisper still to be a little bit better than this card, but, you know, maybe a split, like, you can have, like, two Whispers, one of these, or whatever, because this is, like, this is a card if you draw with, like, 12 mana out of coffers, then you're going to be happy, obviously. Like, and it's still a card that can help you level up in the early game as long as you have enough removal, so maybe, you know, maybe it's fine. Like, you can just get another coffers if you have, like, a more, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be very good, but it's better than I thought it would be before you started talking. So that's
I think
it's a maybe.
The specific cost is that you're kind of giving up the ability of Night's Whisper. Like if you cut a Night's Whisper for this card, you're kind of losing the ability to play a strong or fair game in exchange for having a better unfair game. I don't know if that's the exchange you want to make in coffers. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but that's, you know, that's how I would frame it. Like, that's a specific trade-off that you're making. Yeah, it's dubious, but I could see it. Like, I probably wouldn't play many because of I think that trade is inherently a little unstable, but it's definitely plausible to me. Okay.
Could be a one-off.
Sure.
One-off. It looks like one-off, right? Like, I see this card.
Maybe,
like, This is a maybe one-off.
Yeah, I would say so. Assuming you want to make that trade-off. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to another card. It's an equipment. It costs one colorless, and it says, equip creature gets +1/+0, has with haste and ward 1, and the keep cost is 1. This card home could be Hammer Time. It is a 1 mana artifact that you can get off of Urza Saga and of course Stoneforge Mystic. It's an equipment, so you can keep it for free with Sigarda Zaid and Paladin. It fits the theme, and it is a target for Saga, gives haste. Ward 1 is not quite X-proof like what's the name of the 2 mana
Planning Graves.
Lightning Graves, but it is still a little bit of protection. So yeah, this could be a card that can fit Hammer Time, which has went down a lot in both results and just, you know, it very, very little get played these days.
I mean, this looks bad. I mean, it's free to play 2 matches with it and see if it's like completely embarrassing, but it does look bad. It might be better than Gingerbrood in some matchups or whatever, but like, it's not even better than... No, because that one is unblockable. I don't think this looks good enough. Ward 1 is just like, you're trying to play a combo deck, assembling your combo, just Ward 1 does not protect enough, in my opinion. Like,
Thing is, like, Gingerbread actually adds something to your deck that you can get off Saga that you otherwise don't have in your deck, which I don't think this card really adds. Like, you already have protection effects in your deck, and you already have... I care about tutor targets when they add something to my deck that I wouldn't otherwise have, I think. Well, at least I'm much more likely to care about them in that case. So, I mean, I think it's probably a better card than Gingerbrute, but is it a better card than Gingerbrute that adding something to my deck when I have Urza Saga in my deck? Then I don't think that's the case. So, yeah, I would be really surprised if this card was playable.
Looks bad.
Okay. We have another interesting one. It is Satoru the Infiltrator. This is black and blue for a menace, 2/3 legendary creature. And it's very interesting. It says, whenever this or another one or... Sorry. It or another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, if they were not cast... Sorry.
Yeah.
If they were cast, but no mana was spent, you draw a card.
No, you were right the first time. If it wasn't cast, or if no mana... Or if no mana was spent to cast it.
Oh, right. Yeah. If it wasn't cast. Okay. I was just thinking this card in combination with Evoke Elementals or other ways you can cheat creatures into play. Something like... I don't know.
The card I think this might be good with is Aether Vial, you know? You get to draw a card every single time.
Aether Vial.
Yeah, every time you vial something, then you draw a card. Isn't that kind of nice?
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of
nice. It's a human, actually. You know? that's human Aether Vial. I don't know. Maybe there's something there. The thing is, like, if you play an Evoke deck, you're not really gonna, like, evoke a lot of elementals by the nature of the fact that you know, there's only one in each color and one of them is banned, and you know, one of, and they're reactive. And, you know, I think there's a lot of conditions to this that make me feel like I'm not going to invoke a lot of them. But something like Vial is something where you actually get to do this repeatedly. Now, obviously, humans is... The humans deck in Modern is, you know, some way down in terms of viability, but that's kind of spot that I would see this card being good. Like, if you can build an Aether Vial deck with this card, that might be interesting, I think. Because most of the time, if you're, like, cheating creatures into play, like, you're not really looking to draw cards as your source of advantage. Like, you're looking to win the game by generating more mana value than your opponent, you know? It's slightly different, but... You know, if you have a Vial, then you're often playing a more fair game anyway, in which case drawing cards is valuable. So, yeah, maybe that. That's my guess.
Well, this could be playable in Historic, where there's a Ninja deck. Modern, I think, yeah, like, I think this, because this works well with Ninja 2, right? Mm-hmm. You can just play Ninja 2, so you trigger the.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a Ninja. So it's like Satoru's like a Ninja Lord, right? Isn't it? So, I think these. Could be good enough for Modern if there was like a super broken Ninjutsu card in Modern Horizons 3, that kind of thing. Like, I think this card as it is, it's probably not good enough for now, but one broken card to go with, like other than Grief, for example, or whatever, that could be enough to make this card playable. There's also maybe some kind of combo. You can just chain a lot of Ornithopter. Do you remember the old Chidius deck with the SRAM?
The what?
The SRAM card to play SRAM and
free. Oh, SRAM, yes.
You can just chain a lot of Ornithopters, Memites, or whatever with this.
That's, I don't know, true. If there's like, okay.
If there's enough things, but this card, I mean, the power level of this card is not bad. The body is not bad. The dex is powerful. You can repeat it, you know, pretty use it again and again and again. So there might be some kind of combos. I don't know. I don't think this card's going to be much played because there's not support, but I would not be surprised if someone just brews a deck that's actually
one day.
Yeah, power level is good. I don't know. I just feel like the card, the deck is, I read this card and I'm like, oh, this card's powerful. You know, I don't know what to do with it, but something good might be.
That's a pretty valuable attitude, isn't it? Like, we know that Modern Horizons 3 is coming up, so we can identify cards where you're like, well, you know, I could see something. It's like, there are some cards, you know, let's say we look at like Pillage the Bog from earlier. You're just like, there is no conceivable universe in which I could see this card actually being a good rate. You know, like, it's very hard to see. Like, maybe you can invent some kind of circumstances and yeah, maybe then. But like, this card is like, it's pretty easy to imagine like some sort of structure in Modern Horizons 3 that makes this card good. So looking at these sets coming up, it actually does make sense to try to figure out what kinds of cards have that more open-ended potential, right? So yeah, that makes sense. I think that's probably very helpful for a lot of Modern fans as well, especially knowing that shake-up might be coming over the horizon, you know, as it were. So yeah, that's good.
The horizons.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, let's go on and continue with Demonic Rukus. This is an enchantment aura. Enchant creature get +1/+1 hand menace and trample. When it's put into the graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card, and it has plot for just a single red.
Yeah.
Anthony?
So,
I
think this card is like really interesting because of how good it is with Light Pause. Like, that just seems completely sick, right? If you turn one, plot this, and then turn two, play Light Pause, and immediately play this aura, that seems really impressive. Like, you can immediately get Alpha Authority to protect your Light Pause, or Warbriar Blessing to fight whatever with the Light Pause. Like, I think this card with Light Pause is really interesting. Maybe that makes the Auras deck a real deck. I don't know. That's where I would see this card being good, though, because specifically that interaction with Light Pause seems so powerful to me that I could see this card being good. It's pretty clear how it would be. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't think of it. Yeah, it's pretty clear. And now you say it. Yeah, it's clear. Not much to say there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I have a soft spot for the Auras deck because we spent so much time on it for PT Phyrexia. But, ooh, I don't know. I see a lot here, maybe.
Okay. Let's do another one. We have Shoot the Sheriff. This is a removal spell, instant, destroy target, not outlaw creature. This is assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlock or outlaws. And, well, these are five types, but they're not very common. And remember, in Pioneer, you guys have played, there was, in the Pioneer decks, you guys have played a lot, the Rakdos Midrange. There was always a discussion whether Go for the Throat, Power Word Kill, Heartless Act, and I guess this one now adds to the mix. And yeah, what do you guys say?
This is better than some of those cards, but not necessarily better. And this one, I don't think that competes as well against the... I forgot the name. The one that kills plus walkers, the one from the last set. Discard a card and...
Bitter Triumph.
Bitter Triumph?
Yeah. Like, I don't think this card is necessarily better than Bitter Triumph, but I understand why it's here. It might be Pioneer playable, I guess.
I think it's probably better than Go for the Throat, right? Like, it hits most of the played cards. Like, the only one it misses is Vein Ripper, which is the one that I can see it being a problem missing, but I think it kills basically everything else that's played, right? Does it not?
It also misses Mutabolt. Mutabolt is a big deal because it's good against, you know, the vampire decks or whatever, but also against creativity decks and stuff.
What does Go for the Throat miss that matters?
Not too much. Sky Sovereign, just to be that's the thing. Like, I think Go for the Throat is very good regardless.
Maybe Throat is better because missing Vein Ripper and Mutabolt is actually kind of a, especially because those come in the same deck.
Yep, exactly. I think I would say Go for the Throat is probably better, but I mean, I understand why this card here, it's on the menu. If the main game switch, then this card will be playable. Like, it's one more Doomblade for the format, and maybe we'll play it at some point.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if it's good, it's like the tiniest upgrade, or it's the tiniest. Like, if you cut all your Go for the Throat and played this, like, it couldn't be very wrong, but if you played it, also couldn't be very right. Like, I don't know. It's basically the same card. Maybe it's better, maybe it's not. I don't know if that's clear, but now I think it probably isn't better, but. sure, you know, maybe it's very close.
Okay,
side grade, let's call it.
Let's continue with another card I can see potential in Modern and Pioneer. High Noon Enchantment. Each player costs one colorless and a white. Each player can cast more than one spell each turn, and you pay 5. You sacrifice this and you deal 5 damage to any target. In Pioneer, a lot of people played the Feening Silence, and this card is probably better than that, since you can still play creatures with the Feening Silence, and also the 5 mana to deal 5 damage is definitely not a bad card, and you can play this in other formats as well. I mean, it's a 2 mana Rule of Law, after all, and while Rule of Law doesn't see much play anymore, this card definitely seems like a pushed effect of that type.
Yeah, I think it's a push Rule of Law. Like, the 5 mana, 5 damage should not be overlooked. Like, it can make a huge difference. It also says any target, so it's effectively like a win condition. If you're playing against a combo deck, being able to lava axe your opponent is actually like very important. So I would say in most decks that can actually pay the ability, this should be better than Defending Silence or any card ever printed for the matter that's on that regard, except you cannot tutor it maybe, but if you can tutor it, also better than Eidolons or whatever. Like, I don't think this card is I think this card is better as long as you can sacrifice. Like, but the thing is, it doesn't have many homes in Pioneer. But if there was like a white red deck, well, this is probably better than Defending Silence. I think playing one mana is, even against Phoenix, obviously this is considerably worse because one mana is way worse than two. But the fact that you can just play 5 mana to kill a Ledger Shredder or a Kraken Drake, which are the type of cards that actually the deck relies on to fight the hate cards, it's good. Like, if they play these creatures, well, this offers an answer, and also you can play a lot of copies like of this card where you cannot play that many cards of like Defending Silence. Like, if you draw 2 Defending Silence against Phoenix in Pioneer, you're probably in trouble in a way, but if you draw these and you can sacrifice them, well, they might be the ones in trouble. So I think this card is definitely good.
Yeah, I would say the point about this, like, nailing a Crackling Drake, which is the Phoenix deck's best way to get around hate like this, is a huge deal. It also, the mana cost is pretty restrictive. Like, maybe I don't know where I would play this. Like, I guess you could play it in, like, the Incarnation deck or something, but I think the rate is good. Just the mana cost is awkward. That's all. Like, I think Javier's kind of covered everything there.
Okay. Let's go on. We still have some cards, I guess. Aven Interrupter. This is a very interesting card that has a lot of applications that I didn't see at first. It costs a colorless white, bird rogue, 2/2, flesh flying. When it comes into play, you exile target spell, it becomes plotted. Spells your opponent cast from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast. So this card, you can think of it as a spell queller in the sense that you counter your opponent's spell on the stack, but of course they can play that later for 2 mana. It's very good at blowing up in counter spells, because plot can only be played as a sorcery. So if your opponent plays a counterspell and you play this card on their counterspell, you just, you know, you just kill their card, basically. And that's something that I didn't realize at first. And also is that this card actually taxes graveyards. So if your opponent wants to, I don't know, play Dread Return from the graveyard, well, they have to play 2 mana now. And yeah, that is something extra that this card does and feels good enough. Again, don't know where, but it has a lot of applications.
I don't think this card is like Spellqueller at all. Like, I get that there's a similarity in terms of it's a 3-mana flash creature that that exiles a spell, but I think there's a huge difference. Like, Spellqueller is specifically, you don't want them to get their card back. They can interact with it. This card is specifically that they always get their card back, and they can't interact with it as easily because it's just a trigger that always happens independent of the creature. So it's like a very large difference, I think. Like, Spellqueller is about denying spells. This is about delaying them, which I think is already a large difference. But I think those points about interactivity make this fundamentally very different. So I would caution people against comparing this card to Spellqueller specifically, because I think that's a very intuitive thing to do. And I think during spoiler season, it's very easy to try to compare cards to cards that look similar, but actually play in very divergent ways. So I would want to call that out specifically. Maybe, like, then again, like, maybe a closer analog might be Elite Spellbinder. But even then, I feel like it's very different, because Elite Spellbinder is also a lot about actually delaying spells, and this card never really does that, right? Like, I'm trying to think of a card that I could compare this card to, and I can't. Like, I'm not really sure what a good analog for this card. Maybe Javier's more likely to know some ancient card than this. Yeah, help us.
It's like a Venser that doesn't affect permanence.
Venser? Huh?
Venser, the cube one, the 4-mana Venser.
Oh, I was. I think when you say Venser, I think of the 5-mana planes. Oh, yes,
no,
Venser.
It's sort of a Venser for 3-mana that doesn't get permanence.
Yes.
Which is not very good, you know? Like, this card doesn't seem very good, does it? I mean, it could be better 3-2. Maybe that could be better. Well, but, like, you need this card to be a good attacker, and it's not a good attacker.
If it's good, then I think it's about, like, the hate card side. Like, it's, like, a more flexible... Like, it's a hate card with a higher floor. Like, you, if the mode that, like, makes... If your opponent actually would cast cards from their graveyard or exile naturally, and then it's just, like, a hate card, like a bad Drannith Magistrate, then, like, maybe I could see something in this card. And then it also has like a higher floor because you can exile card and make them pay 2 extra or whatever, then, you know, maybe. But yeah, I think it's like, this is definitely a tempo card, I think, not a card that is trying to deny your opponent from things. Yeah, I don't know, I'm not really sure if this card is good. It does seem like a little bit of a long shot, but I did want to call out specifically that it doesn't play like a lot of cards that you would like. It's really natural to think this is like Spellqueller, this is like Elite Spellbinder, and it's not. I don't know if that will work in its favor or not. I'm not sure that this card will be bad, but I just think it's different. Yeah, it's different and probably bad, but, you know, maybe it's not.
I know, if this was a human, it might have a chance. If it was a human, it could be maybe playable, but I think it looks bad to me.
No. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, let's go to the last one of our list of today, and it is Requisition Raid. It's another spree card. It costs a white with a plus. It's a sorcery. And it says, you pay one extra, you pay destroy an artifact. You pay one extra, you destroy an enchantment. You pay one extra, you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls. So this is similar to Wear Tear in the sense that it can destroy either artifact or enchantment or both. But it can also destroy both. It can also pump all the things, and you have to be mono white. You don't have to splash for red. Of course, we're in the world of pick your poison, but, you know, not every deck is green. So I wanted to bring you guys to, you know, to this card, which I feel like it's a cool one. And maybe there's a lot more of the spree cards that we will maybe analyze next week.
And it seems so expensive for modern. Like, we talked so much about, like, how pick the poison was so good because it was efficient, only 1 mana. And this is, like, the better list, 2 mana for 1 disenchant, which is already, like, completely unplayable, I think. And 3 mana for 2, which is the good mode of wear and tear, but also a sorcery speed, which makes it considerably worse against Ursa Saga as well. The counters mode, not really impactful in modern. Modern is never about, like, swarms. It's just, like, just sign of Draco just killing people. And I think this card looks bad to me. Maybe Pioneer, though. Like, I could see this card being a fine cyber card in humans, for example, where the swarm mode... Like, I think you need... For this card to be good, you need to want a disenchant effect that actually cares about your creature. Like, if you have a lot of creatures in your deck, like a human's deck, this is good. Like, if you play Merfolk, you know, let's say this card was blue, then it will be maybe good in Merfolk because you could just pump out your Merfolks. I think that's the case. But if your deck doesn't have a lot of creatures, I think this is, like, too expensive, in my opinion.
Yeah, so the third mode really does matter, because I think compared to a disenchant, like, getting the both modes, like, if for this to be better than a disenchant effect, then you kind of need the both of those first two modes to be good, or for the last mode to be good, which I think is a lower bar. So I do think that, I agree with Javier, I think the creature side of this this effect is very important for it to be good, which I think does preclude it from being good in Modern. Again, I think, you know, I'm not really looking to eke out, like, a ton of value in Modern. I think that's just not what the format's about. But in Pioneer, I could see the flexibility being good. Like, even though in Pioneer, I think it's much less likely that I'm going to destroy both an artifact or an enchantment. I can't really think of many decks where that's going to come up very often. But the ability to cash it in as a 2-mana, you know, for some power and toughness, maybe that's good. Yeah, I could see this being a fringe card due to its flexibility in a deck like Humans or whatever other creature deck with white mana.
Okay, and I don't know, guys, do you have anything else you want to discuss today, or are you good to wrap up?
I think we're good to wrap up, right?
Yeah, not too much. I mean, I know that, you know, I think, well, maybe more me and Javier, we might have been somewhat naysayers on a lot of these cards, but, you know, given that we're talking about Modern and Pioneer, the bar is naturally high. But I think the value is specifically in identifying why the cards don't work, or what, which also tells you when they might be good, when the things that we said don't apply, I think, right? Because we can always be wrong about things, but especially because Magic is such a changing game. So, yeah, like we said, most of these cards are not good, or that it's hard to see how they would be good. But I think identifying the reasons they're not good is genuinely valuable, I think. Like, it's not like we just say all of these cards suck. Like, we told you why they sucked. I think that's helpful, you know?
But we also don't say all suck. I like the chicken. I think the chicken is good.
Yeah, sure, you know. But
I didn't say,
you know,
all of them
then,
suck.
Then we talk. then we talked about seven more cards where you and I, you know, we weren't very high on it. But I think it's actually valuable to identify, like, the fail points and why, you know, then you can tell when those don't apply anymore, and then the card suddenly becomes good. Because that happens in Magic all the time. Like, some card that sucked before suddenly becomes good. And, you know, as we said, you know, there's a lot of big changes coming to Modern in the near future, so maybe we'll see a lot of those things change. I don't know, you know? The only one that I'm picking out as never being good is Pillage the Bog, but the other cards, maybe something changes and they're good. So, we'll see.
All right. I think we should grab a Mengu. You agree?
Yes, yeah. Let's wrap it up. As always, if you want to support us and join the Patreon, we have patreon.com/carnies, where we can talk about cards. If there is something else that you like about the new set that you want us to cover next week, that's definitely the best place to tell us. We have a Discord server, Discord that's called Feedback. So, you know, if you're in that Discord, there's definitely ask us what do we think about a certain card that we haven't talked about today, because at the end we just talked about like 13 or 14 card and there's 275, so maybe there is something more for us to discuss next week, of course. And again, thank you guys for being here, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening.